So we're looking at strengthening community-based care and addressing health human resource needs. So if you go back to our health system, the anatomy of the health system, now we're dealing with another one of the legs of the system, which are human resources. So briefly, I'm going to talk about the history of primary care in China, national health human resources, focus more on community health services capacity in urban areas, and present some new data on that, and performance as from a patient perspective. And lastly, make a few recommendations. So the challenges, I think we've talked about these: poor access, the low level of insurance, low level of government funding, and low utilization. However, there's an opportunity, right? So massive economic growth, and as David said, this is one of the few countries that can actually afford to make a major overhaul of its system. With $1 trillion in foreign reserves and a government revenue that's increasing by 20% per year, there's a massive surplus that could, you know, be turned towards social development. There's an increase in government spending on health, so approximately 50% increase in the last year from a fairly low baseline, and a doubling of primary care budgets in some cities, particularly in Beijing and in Shanghai. There's been a significant increase in investment in this area. And again, this was a neglected area within the health system, so we're doubling from a very low base. What's the history of primary care in China? Well, after 1949, you had the barefoot doctors in rural areas, which provided good access, were efficient, provided care which was appropriate to the context, and here we're talking a context of largely infectious conditions, and that had a significant health impact, along with a wide range of other initiatives around education, social mobilization. But at that same time, you had kind of a mixed system in urban areas, and that, you know, you actually had quite a few hospitals and ready access to secondary care in the cities. After 1978, you had this market reforms, increased investment in high-tech tertiary care with the rising costs and declining access that we've seen. But also you see that in the current context, that specialists are often seen as first-line providers. And you actually have relatively few training programs for family physicians. And so this is a growing issue that if we want to develop primary care, we need to train these people, and haven't had really the infrastructure for it in the past. So the current history of primary care is that in 1997, State Council reform strategy encouraged the development of pilot studies, so new models of primary care delivery. In 1998, they expanded the pilots and proposed scaling up. And in this year, they started to set a few standards and guidelines around what community health centers should, what type of services they should provide, and the types of the size and so forth. It was still fairly general. And the promise is that by 2010, a new primary care system will be established, first in eastern China, then major cities in the west, and eventually the whole country. The goal of this reform is to provide safe, convenient, and affordable basic health services. So we'll see what the current state of the situation is at this time. So we'll move on to national health human resources. So if we see here, in terms of doctors and nurses, so just highlight in 2005 that you have 1.5 doctors for every nurse. So that's a different, that's fairly skewed as compared to many countries. And particularly when you think about in primary care, you know, many systems will have 3 doctors for every nurse, and particularly poorer countries. So this, the Chinese system is a slightly different distribution. When we look at the urban-rural mix, as you might imagine, there are more doctors in cities than in county hospital or county areas, and similarly for nurses. When we look by region, and this came up just now, again, more doctors in the east than central or west, and the same trend for nurses. When we look at the education of these physicians and nurses, you see that for the physicians, you've got about a third that have bachelor's degrees. And bachelor's degrees, just like in Europe, you can go into medical school directly from high school. So those are, you know, full medical degrees. And many getting technical colleges. So this technical college training is something that's provided often for people in rural areas or people working in county hospitals. So it's like a second tier of education. And then junior college is a good number as well. At the county level, you're seeing a lot more technical college and junior college trained people. For nurses, the training levels are relatively similar. But what you do see is that nurses with bachelor's degrees is a very small proportion overall. So what is the capacity and performance of community health services? And just to come back to here, so this may look surprising in terms of the training levels, especially when I talked about the ratio of doctors to nurses. But actually, many of the things that doctors do in China would be done by nurses or technicians in North America. So you have doctors who do EKGs. You have doctors who do physiotherapy. You have doctors who perform all kinds of tasks that would be delegated tasks in North America. So many of these things may be commensurate with their training. However, you can see people who have technical college degrees doing cataract surgeries. So they, you know, develop, I guess, specialized training, but without a very broad background. So what's the capacity and performance in urban areas? So we just talked about the national trend. We're going to look at urban areas. So this data is coming from a national survey of urban health community services. It's launched in 2005 over about an 8-month period, and had a 85% response at city and district level, covering the whole country except for Tibet. So in this survey, you had 3,000 community health centers and, pardon me, roughly 10,000 health stations. So a health center is a slightly larger facility, and then health stations are maybe affiliated with a hospital, but also may be independent. And they're trying to achieve a target of a health facility within a 5-minute walk of all areas. So you end up with these health stations that may have one or two providers to achieve this kind of geographic accessibility target. So the average staff per unit, this gives you a bit of more of the size. So 18 physicians on average in a community health center, 3.5 in a health station, 13 nurses versus 2.5 in a health station. A public health worker, you may have 3 in a community health center, and maybe a 1 divided by 3 into 3 different health stations for the public health workers. Now, these community health centers, it's really a wide range of things. Because this is a new entity, there's funding for them and subsidy for the rent, many hospitals have converted themselves. So those primary hospitals I spoke about in the previous presentations have converted themselves into community health centers. Some of them have beds, for overnight stay, and so it's a real wide range. But these are the averages. And so when you see the staff ratios, you've got 1 physician to 0.7 nurses and 0.15 public health workers. And again, a staff ratio that's very different than what we normally expect in community health services. In terms of staff training, about a quarter of the physicians have bachelor's degrees, but the majority have these technical college and junior college degrees. So this is a lower level of training than certainly you'd see in urban hospitals, but also lower than the average for the country. And nurses, again, distributed mostly in the technical college and junior college level. Pardon me. Within this, so 26% have bachelor's degrees, but there's at least 36% of physicians who haven't received this family medicine certification. So this is a new certification, and it's gradually being rolled out, and there's a lot of continuing medical education. So these are not programs necessarily that are residency programs, but sort of on-the-job, in-service training. Now, when we look at the performance of these services, this is some data from a patient survey of 112 communities from 2004-2005. These communities actually were selected by asking politicians about regions that they felt were particularly good. So these are sort of supposed to be model areas. 2,240 patients surveyed. Of these patients, and these patients were selected in the vicinity of community health centers at random. And 59% of respondents were aware of community health centers, but only half of that number had used them. So again, underlying the low utilization. So the perception of this, now some of the people who answered hadn't been to these, so this is a perception, a general perception. So convenience, widely felt to be convenient, not felt to be affordable. Only 28% thought they were affordable. which is something you'd think, you know, would be a goal of community health services. And safety, only 35%. And when you say safety, that means people are comfortable going there. They feel that they will get safe and high-quality care. So extremely low, and overall satisfaction around 50%. So in conclusion, you see the capacity of primary care staff is quite low, but then unclear how it compares to population needs. It really depends on what you want these people to do, right? And it may be possible to define a skill set that's appropriate within their training level. There's limited use of community health services. And really, I mean, we could talk about a crisis of confidence in community health services. With these levels of satisfaction and this perception of that they're neither safe nor affordable, it's really hard to see, it's rather easy to understand why utilization is low. So what recommendations do we have? Well, first off is to define the role of primary care providers. And this is still a sort of question that's up in the air. Like, will you be training the primary care specialist? And this could be like a GP in Canada, the US, or the UK. Or should you be training a kind of technician? Maybe it's a 21st century barefoot doctor that you need that can deal with the basic problem, you know, even to deal with chronic disease, but in a very simplified way, using simplified protocols. You can think of treatments like the poly pill that people are talking about that, you know, could be an approach to chronic disease using a primary care technician. Secondly is defining the role of the government in primary care. So again, if most of the revenue is coming from the sale of drugs, there's very little subsidy for the poor, then really are they just competing in the market, or should they be providing protecting the vulnerable? Because that's not a job that it seems current primary care services do not seem well suited to that. And lastly, to clarify the goals of primary care and to measure performance against those goals. So we have some general goals, but really, if you want to track primary care reform, and there's talk of doubling the budget for primary care widely, and particularly initiatives around separating the drug revenue from operating revenue. So if they were to do that, that demands a significant increase in investment. But really, you've got to see what return you're getting on your investment. And so we think that they should be investing in quality and accountability before providing broad access. And particularly when you think about patient perceptions, because you could set up all these facilities and fund them, but people might not go there. So we think that these things should go hand in hand, the increase in capacity and quality along with increased investment in covering operating costs. Okay. Thank you very much.